Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's time for Overtime. Mark Grandy, Kyle Madsen, and Sterling Bennett with analysis, sound from the locker room, and your reaction to the game. When the clock hits zero, we bring you Overtime. Take it away, boys.
Well, the clock isn't quite at zero, but the game is over. It's 38-10, Green Bay over the 49ers in Green Bay. Still 4-plus minutes left. The Niners will get the ball back, but they're down by 28 points. This ball game is over. The 49ers officially 5-6, and their playoff hopes take a major hit today in Green Bay. Depending on what stats website you go to, Niners playoff chances now somewhere around 15% or something like that. But if we're just taking a look at how it feels more dire than that. Welcome into Overtime here on 95.7 The Game. My name is Mark Grandy, joined as always by Kyle Madsen and Sterling Bennett. Guys, we do not know what the final score will be, but it was an ugly game for the 49ers. It's 38-10 right now. Niners down like four of their five most important players. You did not have Brock Purdy. You did not have Nick Bosa. You did not have Trent Williams. You did not have Charvarius Ward. You missed so many key players in this football game. It was always going to be an uphill battle, but this was a little more ugly than I was expecting.
Yeah, it's disappointing. Like, yep. That's what I did not expect the 49ers to win today necessarily, but to come out the way they did, uncompetitive, and to be uncompetitive for most of the game, and then in a game where you need to be as buttoned up as humanly possible, you need to, all right, this is lock in and play a perfect game, and maybe you still don't win, but at least you give yourself a shot. They didn't. Turn the ball over. You got penalties. They get a big special teams play, which they needed from Deebo Samuel, called back by penalty. It just it was not a competitive effort, and I think that's the most disappointing part. I expected them to come out at least fired up and playing hard. They didn't. They quit, and that sucks.
This was a game that I thought, okay, at least make me say, well, if you had Brock Purdy, well, if you had Trent Williams, well, if you had Nick Bosa. And unfortunately, I don't think it would have mattered had they had any three of those guys out there. They still would have lost this game because every single thing that went wrong has plagued them the previous 10 games. Yep. Turnovers, penalties, special teams, back-breaking defense on third and second and long, drop interceptions to help you get back in the football game, not capitalizing on the other team trying to give you the game. The Packers didn't play great today. They ran the football well. Jordan Love had under 100 yards through three quarters. The Niners were in this game up until the beginning of that fourth quarter. They had every chance to fight their way back, and every time they continue to shoot themselves in the foot and push themselves two steps back every time they try to take one step forward.
Yeah, the Niners had the ball twice in the third quarter with a chance to make it a one-score game. It was only a 10-point game at halftime. The Niners trailed 17-0. They go down and they put together a really nice drive to close the first half. It ended with a George Kittle great touchdown in the back of the end zone. Kittle, one of the few Niners that showed up today. Six catches, 82 yards, and a touchdown as we speak. Still 4 minutes to go. The Niners facing a 3rd and 10, but they're down by 28 points. This drive does not matter. You just hope everybody of importance and everybody stays healthy. If you are still hoping that the Niners can turn this season into something. But the Niners had two chances, two drives, guys, where they were only down by 10 in the third quarter. And that's when, as you guys already pointed to, they could not get out of their own way. Turnovers, and that was essentially it. Because then the Packers go down, they get a touchdown. You make it a two-score game with the field goal, but it's been all Packers since then. You have been able to do nothing on offense. Kyle, I think you brought up the right point early in this football game. Turnovers, it was the penalties that doomed your drives in the beginning. That though, there was a hold by Dominic Pooney, there was two false starts by Dominic Pooney, and an oddly off game for him, and those killed each of the 49ers' first two drives. And then 15 missed tackles in the first half. The defensive tackling was pretty gross in this football game as well. You guys said it. If the Niners were to win this game without their quarterback, without their best edge rusher, without all of these players, they had to be perfect in all those little areas. And Green Bay was by far better in all those little areas tonight as well.
Well, we did the football hour on Thursday, right? We talked about, okay, if you could only have one of Bosa, Purdy, or Trent Williams, which one are you taking? And we decided, it doesn't really matter because you don't feel great about it either way. And then they had none of them. It just, you mentioned the missed tackles. It's like they approach this game the way I think we all probably kind of felt about it. Like, yeah, hey, they don't have a great chance to win this one.
Yeah.
And that, we can feel that way. We don't have an impact on the game. Like, we're just out here catching vibes. The fact that the team went out and looked like that, it's the first time in the Kyle Shanahan era, even going back to like 2017, this is the first time they have played a game and I've felt like, oh, they quit from the jump. They were not competitive from snap one.
There was still a moment though, early second half, where you're like, oh, all right.
But in the same way, like you kind of felt that way in the 2022 NFC title game.
Like McCaffrey touchdown.
Yeah, like yeah. McCaffrey scores and you're looking at it, you're going, okay. If you get a stop,
are they actually going to do this without a quarterback?
But then the Eagles score right before the half, but then you're going, okay, but if you go down and score here, you get a field goal, you're only down four. And then Josh Johnson fumbles and they score again before the half, yeah. And it just kind of felt over from that point. That's the way it felt today. And to have this season, the season's done, man. You got to win out and get help.
Seattle's ahead right now. You never know.
Yeah, but you lose ground on Seattle, but right, you gain ground on the Cardinals. Or you
you're only
gain
a game
ground.
Out, brother. You're only a game and a half out,
man.
Still.
Jeez,
but,
Louise.
Yeah, the effort from the jump, but at least everybody that I talked to, and I'm sure you guys feel the same way, it was going to take a Herculean effort by the defense to hold Green Bay to 17 points and maybe keep it close late. But the defense getting run all over for three consecutive drives.
Yes.
It was like, yep, that's how this is going to go. It's going to be a trouncing. It'll be over come third quarter. And surprisingly, it wasn't. To give the defense some credit, that second half, they did make some adjustments and they did play well. Got a couple three and outs. Almost picked off Love twice. Like, there was some good things, I guess, to say of the defense in a very small sample size in that third quarter. But ultimately, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because Brandon Allen was slipping and sliding, turning the ball over. I mean, I guess the big bright spot really is George Kittle, who continues to be awesome, whether it's Nick Mullins or Jimmy Garoppolo or Brock Purdy or Trey Lance or Brandon Allen. He still looks like all-pro George Kittle. Unfortunately, he can't play the other 10 positions. It's one guy doing everything out there.
Yeah. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett. We want to hear from you guys, Niner fans. We're here so you can vent to us. You can get out your frustration. That's what we're doing here as well. So give us a call. Shoot us a text, 888-957. 877-957-0. I see the 650, the 209, the 408 chiming in already on the Comcast Business text line. Keep them coming. We'll get to all your calls and texts throughout the evening here on Overtime on 95.7 The Game. Sterling, you pointed out the defense in the second half. There was a decent chunk of this game where they kept the Niners in the football game. First three drives were bad, as you guys already pointed to. 12-play touchdown drive, 10-play field goal drive, 12-play touchdown drive, 17-0 before you can even blink, really. After that, punt. The Brandon Allen interception set up a short field touchdown. That's not on the defense. And then another punt. And then another punt. So there were five drives after the first three scoring drives by the Packers where the Niners only gave up points on a short field touchdown drive for the Packers after a Niners interception on offense. Four other drives, they were punts, and they kept the team in it. I know it's rough to see the 38-point total right now, but honestly, I didn't think the defense was terrible. I mean, you can look at all the missed tackles, and that is frustrating as hell, and Josh Jacobs running through like four guys seemingly on every single play, and yeah, I get it, that's rough, but they didn't play nearly as bad as 38 points suggest, and they didn't play good enough to win the football game. Like, they were going to have to play out of their minds for this offense to have a chance. Down your quarterback, down your best offensive lineman by a mile. Deebo Samuel seems to be nothing still. You needed more, but it's not as if the defense was absolutely abominable in this game.
The run defense was gross.
Yes.
That was really bad, but you're missing Nick Bosa, who's arguably your best run defender. Jordan Elliott, who's not great, but
missed the entire second half.
Out for the entire second half. Like, they just didn't have the horses to stop Green Bay up front. Like, that was a concern going into the game.
Yeah.
Like, they're going to have to devote so many resources to stopping the run, and they just couldn't. But to your point, like, they hung around. They gave the offense an opportunity. But I can't even really put it on Brandon Allen necessarily.
He wasn't
good. Like, this is not to say Brandon Allen was awesome.
Kind of like what I expected.
Yeah, but I mean, Deebo Samuel has one catch and should have had another one that goes through his hands and goes for an interception.
Yeah.
Biggest play of the game, most likely.
Yeah, but, yeah, you're right.
Game
that
turn
was
right
it.
There. Yeah.
That was it. Yep. And I know it wasn't like an easy reception, but like, yeah, but that's Deebo Samuel. That's not Ronnie Bell. That's not Rando Guy.
Not Chris Conley.
That's a guy. No. That is one of your dogs. That's one of the guys who has to go make a play for you.
Like, Kittle makes that catch.
Yes. Yeah. George Kittle made a couple of ridiculous catches today.
The back hip, back shoulder, spin around.
Insane.
Oh, my God.
And great catch.
It's like, does Ricky Pearsall have a target yet? No targets for your first-round receiver, but we can get Chris Conley and Eric Saubert the ball? Okay.
Hey, he's been returning punts, though. Don't worry. Ricky Pearsall, staying busy.
Getting the ball in his
Although,
hands.
Better just fair catching, because there's a hold on every single kickoff and punt return.
It's unbelievable.
Jesus.
Yeah, man, that's where like today irks me, because you go look at Green Bay, and outside of Josh Jacobs, 26 for 106 and three touchdowns, Jordan Love, 13 of 23, 163, two touchdowns, probably should have thrown two picks.
Also should have had like a 60-yard touchdown at the end of the first half, because Christian Watson just ran right past Isaac Yadam and he dropped a perfectly placed
just
ball.
A dot. Yeah, it's disappointing for sure, man. Jordan Mason's in the game. That's nice.
finally.
To see that. Like, that's the other thing. Here, just while we're venting.
Stream of consciousness. Keep it going.
Here we go. Green Bay is out there running two running back stuff. Every person who talks about the 49ers a little has been like, why don't Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey just share the field?
Oh, man.
Christian McCaffrey, everyone's like, oh, he could be an all-pro as a slot receiver. All right, let's see it then. Let's mess with the defense here. Let's put Christian McCaffrey out in the slot. Dude, Mark and I are sitting here in the studio.
Yep.
Jordan Mason comes in, and we go, oh, Jordan Mason's in. And I go,
early third quarter.
I go, first explosive run of the game coming up. Bang, 16 yards.
Yeah. No, I was like, I guarantee he's running for a first down here. Then you took it a step further to the explosive run, and then it happened. Yeah. Well, the Niners recovered.
Oh, wow.
It's fine. Go ahead, Sterling. Go ahead.
What a joke.
I was just going to say, like, even Tom Brady, who you can think what you want of Tom Brady as a broadcaster, even he's questioning, why is Jordan Mason and Christian McCaffrey not on the field at the same time? It doesn't make sense. It gives you... it gives the defense something else to look out for. And on fourth down, you're going empty set with Christian McCaffrey lined out wide, not Jordan Mason in the backfield. It's just very questionable calls, but even then, the execution was so poor today. But somehow, at halftime, San Francisco goes into halftime down 17-7 with the idea, hey, we're getting the ball out of halftime. Go down, score a touchdown, make it a three-point game or at least a one-score game. At that time, they had run 17 plays for 96 yards. The Packers had 38 plays for 218 yards, including 125 of those on the ground, and they had 17 points, and somehow they had a chance through three quarters in this game. That shows you that despite everything that went wrong, which literally everything went wrong in this game for San Francisco, defensively, offensively, turnover, special teams, doesn't matter, it was atrocious for a lot of this game, they still have found themselves in little pockets of each game this year. They have a chance. And I don't know if it gives fans hope. I know right now we're all kind of doom and gloom. The season feels over. I don't know what Brock Purdy's health status is. That feels like it's more serious than they're leading it on to be, but that's just me. And look, Brock Purdy's not going to save how bad this offensive line's played or how bad the defense has played or all these special teams disasters every single game. Like, this game felt just like every other Niner game, but with the backup quarterback and the backup left tackle and no Nick Bosa. Every game's the same. Doesn't matter who's in, who's out, every game is exactly the same.
Yeah. It was same issues, same mistakes, same frustrating moments, but it was just 10 times worse because you're doing it now without, like four of your five most important players on the roster. And that makes it, of course, so much more difficult. But Sterling, you pointed to the moment beginning of the third quarter when the Niners had the ball out of the halftime break, down 10, and they put together a little bit of a drive. That was when we saw the Jordan Mason run 16 yards. They get over midfield. They're faced with a 3rd and 8. Brandon Allen looking a little bit like Brock Purdy, although a lot slower, runs, decent play to get 6 yards, brings up a 4th and 2, and I'm sure you were thinking the same thing, Kyle and I here in the studio, and our guy Cam behind the glass, all thinking the same thing. You got to go for it, down 10, it's very deep field goal range, go for it, you're going to try to get a touchdown or at least make it an easier field goal, go for it. And what does Kyle Shanahan and the 49ers offense do? 4th and 2, you are from the Green Bay 39-yard line, all right? So you're across midfield. It's an easy go-for-it situation, in my opinion. So I love the decision to go for it, but what do? You motion Christian McCaffrey out of the backfield on 4th and 2. So you're asking Brandon Allen to go empty on 4th and 2. First of all, that tells the Packers, hey, we're going to throw the ball. Don't even need to worry about the run. 2, if the Packers are going to blitz, you got no one to protect Brandon Allen. And he had to rush a throw, looking only at Christian McCaffrey, who was well defended by one of the best DBs in the league, Xavier McKinney, who had a pick later on in the game, incomplete, turnover on downs. And at that point, you kind of feel like that was a turning point in the game. The Debo dropped interception was another one later on. But that 4th and 2 failure to convert, where for some reason you tell the Packers that you're not going to run by moving McCaffrey out of the backfield, it made no sense to me. It feels like you're doing yourself a disservice by tipping your cap to the Packers and giving them an idea of what's coming. On 4th and 2, the most important play of the game at that point, I would really like Kyle Shanahan to explain the thought process behind that. Maybe I'm just too naive of a football mind to fully understand, but to me, that makes no sense. Why are you telling your opponent that you're going to throw on 4th and 2?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't love that at all. I hate the shotgun empty on 4th and short every single time. Like, not even making them think about it.
Like, if you've got a mobile, if you got Lamar Jackson back there, it's a different story because Lamar can run it himself.
Sure.
You got Brandon Allen. You're not running it with Brandon Allen.
No kind of play. And maybe that just comes from a lack of trust in the offensive line, which I would get. He doesn't think the offensive line can get enough push to run it for 2 yards. So, hey, we're just going to put McCaffrey out in a route.
Put McCaffrey in the slot and put Jordan Mason in the backfield.
Well, and take Chris Conley off the field? Yes. Are you kidding?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I the hesitation to use both running backs at the same time is baffling to me. I don't understand it. The fact that Chris Conley is getting a play action shot play when Ricky Pearsall can't is baffling to me. That Eric Saubert is A, on the team, B, on the field at all ever is baffling to me. Today was perfectly indicative of the season. Sterling hit the nail on the head. I think you absolutely nailed it, dude, when you said that this game was just what the 49ers would look like without such a top-heavy roster. So, yep, that's a great damn point, because that is exactly what this was. There's nobody to bail them out.
No, nobody. It's just... It's so frustrating, too, because that fourth down, okay, San Francisco doesn't get the first down, and you think, okay, interesting. How's the defense going to respond? And the defense immediately forces a three and out. Great, no harm, no foul. They got the ball back, and you're feeling okay. All right, what does the offense do? They get a 31-yarder to Kittle up the middle of the football field. They're moving the football, and on third and eight, that's when Debo can't catch the football over the middle, turns it to a pick, and it like the sequence of events just shows you exactly how close San Francisco is, but also just how far away they've been every single game this year. They get the 87-yard kick return by Debo Samuel to open half. Great! Wow! We're at the 13-yard line of Green Bay. We are in the red zone, about to score at least a field goal, make it a one-score game. Nope, called back by an Eric Seibert holding call. Okay, great. The next drive, your defense gets a stop. Here's a pick. Here's an interception. Okay, great. Because Debo Samuel can't catch the football. The very next drive by Green Bay, DPI in the end zone leads to a Josh Jacobs touchdown. That right there flipped the game from a one-score game, maybe in your favor, or a 17-14 game or whatnot, to a 21-point lead by the Packers. It's that sequence right there that cost San Francisco this game.
Yep. And it's kind of the story of the season. There's been moments in almost every single game, specifically the losses, and even in some of the wins, where you're going, they just shot themselves in the foot, like on four consecutive, not necessarily plays, but moments of drives, and that's what flips these games that the Niners are playing in. And it's the same story every single week. This one obviously is different because you're down so many key players. I mean, the list of Niners inactives for this game: Trent Williams, Brock Purdy, Nick Bosa, Mooney Ward, you've got so many players, and, you know, along with Kevin Givens and Jacob Cowing and Khalil Davis, who they acquired at the trade deadline. You've got so many key guys that are not even available for you in this football game that it's going to be increasingly difficult. And if there was ever a moment for the Niners to play their cleanest game, this was the time, because this was the only opportunity for them. That was the only opportunity for them to win the football game, was if they played clean, and they might have played one of their, less clean games of the season, and that is saying a lot considering how bad some of the games have been so far this year. It's overtime here on 95.7 The Game. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. We're just getting started. Let's go out to the phones and keep the calls and keep the texts coming. 888-957-9570. The 49ers, it is a final, by the way, in Green Bay. The final score is 38-10. The Niners fall to 5-6, and they're back below 500 once again. Okay, up first here on overtime is Fozzie in the East Bay. What's up, Fozzie? How you feeling about that loss? Fozzie, you there?
Thanks for having me on, Kyle, man.
I got you.
See you, man.
Go ahead. Sorry about that, Fozzie. We got you now. How's it going?
All right, but tough one, man. Thanks for having me on, Kyle. Good to see you back on the air. But yeah, man. I think it was going to be a hard game, even with Brock Purdy there. I know, you know, we're always going to back our team and stuff like that, but we'll call it for what it is, has been for so far this season. Man, we're 12 games in. This team really doesn't have an identity. And now going into this game with backup quarterbacks, you've seen the results, man. We got our butts spanked today, man. And it was hard to watch, but you know what? I think it's time to turn the page on this season, man, and we'll have time to react on this game. But I think for the future, giving Brock Purdy a big contract is going to be worth it, because we've seen what this team looks without him. Cheers, boys. How's it going?
Appreciate the call, Fozzie. I think it's an interesting point as it relates to the future of Brock Purdy. I don't think it would have looked necessarily pretty with Brock Purdy in there either, but it would have looked a little bit better, and just the absence of Brock Purdy maybe makes you appreciate what he brings to the team as well.
Yeah, maybe a little bit. There were definitely some throws I thought that Josh Allen missed that Purdy probably
Brandon
missed.
Allen.
Brandon Allen, yeah. Thank you.
I wish it was Josh Allen.
I think the thing that jumped out was the thing you were talking about earlier is the mobility.
Yeah.
That just the inability to navigate the pocket. And I thought Tom Brady brought up he brought up this point 19 times during the broadcast. and I think it's apt. Brandon Allen hasn't started a game in 3 years.
Yeah, week 18, 2021, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
And he's stepping into an NFL game after being in practice. It's just going to be different. Like
having broken
finger,
yeah. What the Niners never told anybody about. We see him out there on the field.
Well, he showed up on the practice report for week 10 on Thursday with a finger injury, but he was a full participant. And he was a full participant in Friday's practice and then was not on the injury report, and he hasn't been on the practice report since.
And he's got a cast on his left middle finger.
He's got a little wrappy bit there on his finger. So it just the lack of mobility.
Twice.
A stunner. The lack of also all three Niners turnovers went for Packer touchdowns today. But the mobility factor was it for me. Like when he would start to maneuver in the pocket is like disaster. Anything that happens from the moment when he was dropping back, he was setting his feet, ball is out, he was fine.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the minute it was back, set his feet, got to step up, it's like, oh boy, like this isn't going to go well. And like you just can't have that behind an offensive line that is subpar at pass blocking.
Yeah, you know what it felt like, Sterling? It felt kind of like a Jimmy Garoppolo moments.
Oh boy.
Man, hey, they beat the Packers a couple years back with no offense at all.
With
Jimmy G as the quarterback.
Hufanga.
So.
Yeah.
But does that open the door for the conversation as to why Joshua Dobbs didn't start today? I didn't know that Brock Purdy may have not been able to play. Maybe he could have played. But the idea that Joshua Dobbs played meaningful football last year for the Vikings and a little bit for the Cardinals, beat the Cowboys last year early in the season. And look, they probably would have lost this game anyways. But you want mobility. There's a guy sitting back that you gave guaranteed money to in the offseason. They thought be the quarterback too. And yeah, you probably still lose. Maybe it's not by 28 points. Maybe it's by 24 points. And we're all sitting back like, oh, well, whatever. But why didn't Joshua Dobbs start? I don't get that.
I mean, I
probably
agree.
Because he stinks.
I agree.
That's fair. I mean, so does Brandon Allen, so it doesn't matter.
First of all, they're losing this game with either of those starting quarterback.
That's
But I am with you, Sterling, that I personally am a little bit confused, but you ask why, and to me, it's a very simple answer, and this is just I can try to pretend to be Kyle Shanahan for a second. Brandon Allen's been on the roster now for 2 years. He knows the offense,
guys.
Knows the offense. He has memorized the playbook. And guess what? Josh Dobbs, I know he's a real smart guy, hasn't mastered the playbook yet. You got to keep mastering it. Yep.
On that fumble, go ahead,
you signed an astrophysicist. If you need anyone to save your season, isn't it the freaking astronaut? Like, you need a miracle. That guy's going to go to space one day. He can help somehow.
Yeah, no, but he can't throw a quick out to Juwan Jennings.
I think that's literally probably it. Like, I know that like we joke about that, but that's just Kyle Shanahan was more confident. There was less variance. And hey, if everything gets executed perfectly, Brandon. But like, this is where I have frustrations with Kyle Shanahan. Like, you know, it's not going to be perfect. You know, your offensive line is poor. You know that you have Juwan Jennings and a broke ass Debo Samuel and not broke financially, like a substandard version, doing very well for himself. Very successful wide receiver Debo Samuel, who is a shell of himself,
and also McCaffrey, who does not look like last year's McCaffrey.
Has
still
not looked right. It just like you're banking on everything going perfectly, which okay, but. Let's be
breaking news.
Let's be real.
It's not going to go perfectly.
It has not gone perfectly for 10 weeks. I don't, but again, we can have this discussion. It's easy. We can bounce it back and forth all day.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs, the quarterback play is so far down the list of things wrong with this game.
Yes.
Maybe Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, I mean,
to what end?
I do think that a lot of this is that Joshua Dobbs probably does things outside of the scheme Shanahan doesn't like, where it's the scrambling, not playing on time, and all this stuff, and Shanahan's like, no, do what I say, trust me blindly, and it's like, well, Have you given anybody, including your quarterbacks, a reason to trust you blindly this year? I don't think so. But you're right, Kyle. The quarterback, while yes, was a factor, they got to clean up third and long, second and long defensive issues.
Oh, man.
They got to fix the offensive line, the penalties. Jake Brendel still is a turnstile at center. They got, again, no Deebo Samuel, shell of himself, like you said, Kyle. It's like Deebo Samuel's biggest play of the day was a kick return that didn't even count. And I guess a trick play that took literally like three different players that had to pitch the ball three different times to different people to actually make the play worthwhile. Now it was a 21-yard play, but this felt like the Niners are a ghost of who they once were, and no one's saving them. Shanahan's not doing it. Brandon Allen ain't doing it. Joshua Dobbs ain't doing it. And if Brock Purdy somehow comes back against the Bears in 2 weeks or against the Bills next week, they're going to lose again. They're simply just not good enough. Now, you can say, well, they're 1.5 game out of the division, and there's still a chance. And yeah, stat-wise and mathematically, that's true. But ultimately, at the end of the year, we're talking about, hey, 13th overall pick. Hey, 15th overall pick. Who's this team's first-round pick this year compared to they just missed the playoffs by one or two games?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right. I mean, they've got so many other problems that we can talk about the quarterback spot. And obviously, I mean, it would look different if Purdy was in there. They probably still lose this game with Purdy, even if they don't have Trent Williams, they don't have Nick Bosa, they don't have all these other guys. Like, this was a game where the Niners just were simply outclassed from a talent perspective, but also just from a playing football perspective, because the Niners made so many more mistakes than the Packers did. 888-957-9570 as overtime continues. The Niners fall in Green Bay 38-10. Niners now 5-6, back below 500 in 2024. Let's go back out to the phone line. Dave is in South San Francisco, and he's on overtime now on 95.7 The Game. Dave, how you doing?
I'm doing good. I expected a win today. We got the talent. It was a lot closer than I thought. And, I mean, it wasn't at the end, but all these penalties and missed tackles, it's just like we kind of messed up on our own accord. And hats off to Kittle. He did good, but you know, I don't want to criticize the team. I'm a couch potato. But basically, they could have done a lot better. You know, last year they were much more potent. The offensive line, Cafferty, was feared in the league. Every time he got the ball, he'd get like 6, 7, 10, 12, 15 yards. Just not happening this time. So, a lot of issues. I don't want to single anybody out. Love the Niners. Hope they can get it together. But I think we need to get like some help, special teams, and got to take a good look at this coach here, Mr. Shanahan. Thank you.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Dave. Well, I'll say you are spot on about at least one thing that you said. They got to take a hard look at special teams. There wasn't any like major turnover that happened on special teams in this game, right?
Almost.
They were close. I mean, they were close last week, too. But, I mean, you guys mentioned the Deebo Samuel kickoff return called back by the Saubert hold, which, I don't know, might have been a hold, might not have been a hold. It did happen right as Deebo Samuel ran past him. It probably impacted the play. I don't have a major problem with that being called. More so, blame it on Eric Saubert for being in that position. But, again, it's a play on special teams that essentially directly cost you points, because Deebo returned that all the way down to the 8-yard line. Instead, you get it like at the 21 as a result, because I think it happened at the 31. It's a spot foul where the penalty committed. You lose 10 yards from that spot. So you go from the 8-yard line, first in goal, all the way back to the 21. You have a gigantic field ahead of you, and you can't do anything with it. So it wasn't the same kind of mistake the Niners special teams have made all season long. But I'll give this Niners special team group one thing. They're pretty creative in finding new ways to screw up, and that happened again today.
Yeah, that was I don't know, dude. Like, this is just kind of what I expected.
Yep.
It just, that's what, I'm not firing anybody, I'm not cutting anybody, I don't, like, they finally, here's what, the injury stuff, right? I had the guy from Packers Wire reach out to me, the USA Today Sports Media website, reach out to me and said, hey, why are the Niners 5-5? Like, well, all their metrics.
How much time do you have?
It's kind of what I said. He's like, because to me, like, you look at their metrics, they just look like a team that's been kind of snake bit by injuries. And it's like, well, yes, you're better if you have Brandon Ayuk and Christian McCaffrey. Yeah. And
nice pull.
Thanks. And Christian McCaffrey, obviously, and if George Kittle's healthy all year and whatever Debo's dealing with, all that. Like, yes, no doubt, you're better that way. But I had not to this point left any of the 49ers' losses and gone, well, they just couldn't win. Look how injured they were. We've not discussed the injury stuff at all outside of, oh, can't score in the red zone. McCaffrey should help that. Yeah. He hasn't. But this was the first game that going in, it was like they just can't overcome these injuries. And the disappointing part was how they played. Like, if they lost, they weren't going to the playoffs. They have to win out and get help to go to the playoffs. But I think they know they're done. And I think they knew they were done when they took the field today.
Do you agree, Sterling?
I mean, it's hard to say no and disagree. You know, it's ironic that John Lynch, for as great as he is as a GM, he always preaches they want finishers. They want guys to go out there and finish plays and finish drives and, you know, go out there and just give you everything they have on every single snap. And this season, the Niners have been far from finishers in many areas, whether it is drives or plays or games. And for the first time this season, it felt like they didn't even start, so they never had a chance to finish. And that's not what this team has been since 2019. That's not the culture that Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch have established when they came here in 2017. And they've had far worse teams with far worse personnel and far worse coaching that have overcome the odds at certain points. And like in 2017, they had no wins, and Jimmy Garoppolo comes in, they went 5-0 to end the year. Like, I would buy into that team more than this team right now, simply because that team has heart and this one doesn't. And I hate saying that because this team has so many great players. Fred Warner, Brock Purdy, George Kittle in his prime, Debo Samuel, Trent Williams. Like, so many great players. You say, those are guys you can ride to immortality and win a Super Bowl with. In 2024, ain't no one picking you up. Ain't nobody finishing, because in this game, nobody started. You can tell from snap one, the run defense didn't come to play. The offense looked stale for three straight drives until Kyle finally figured something out. And even that drive in itself, the only scoring drive San Francisco had when they got a touchdown, the only reason why it happened was because Chris Conley recovered Isaac Grendo's fumble on the kickoff. Like, this game, yes, had so many instances where they could claw their way back and find a way to, you know, a miracle win in Green Bay at Lambeau. No. This team didn't have a chance to win because this team knows they're not going to win. I would not doubt if San Francisco lost every single game the rest of the year. And I would say, yep, that makes sense, because this team knows they're done and knows they can't finish. So why even show up at that point?
888-957-9570. Do you think the Niners are done? Do you think they know that they're done? You can offer your opinions on that. Also, we'll take all of your calls just about the game in general. Again, 888-957-9570. Vaughn has been waiting patiently. He's in Santa Rosa. What's up, Vaughn? You're on overtime on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, guys. I am, like, just so frustrated. Let me take a breath really quick.
Yeah, you got it.
I just got to say, man, I've been watching Shanahan, and I really, you know, thought he was great and all that. I'm not one to just bash him, but there's been a point where, you know, I think this team might have given up on him, like, to the point where when I watch his post-game pressers and whatnot, he's very smug, arrogant. When anybody even presses him on any question, never says, hey, I put this on myself. It's coaching. I got to coach better. We got to coach better. He never takes it on himself. It's always diverts it away. And then not only that, special teams have been horrible all year. All year. Nothing has gotten better. Nothing has improved at all. Defensively, nothing has improved at all. The penalties, nothing has improved at all. It's gotten worse. And then you got the players injured. Like, we just had our bye 2 weeks ago. And why are these guys out? Like, I get it. It's football and everything. These guys all got paid. Christian McCaffrey got an extension. Trent Williams got his extension. I was all wanting the money. Now, when it comes time, they're not available. It's like maybe there should be some injury clauses in those contracts. Hey, man, whatever it is. It's just like, I don't know what it is, but I think this part of this team has given up on Shanahan because of the Super Bowl losses, the play calling in critical times. run the ball. You got a backup quarterback. What are you doing? You are passing the ball all the time instead of running. You got McCaffrey, the best offensive player in the league last year. You're not using him. You got Jordan Mason. No bubble screens, no nothing. It just reeks of bad coaching. Like, there's no, nothing's getting better. It's getting worse. It's getting worse. And, you know, even with Purdy, I think it would have been a little bit better. And then this is the key to it all. This was over the top for me. Josh Dobbs, I thought, should have been the second string quarterback out of preseason, and he performed better. But not only that, I find out today in the game, Brandon has a broken finger. Yep. And he's still starting. Why? I don't get it. If Josh Dobbs is a scrambler, he could run at least. You're just putting it's just it's accumulated so much. I really do think Shanahan's I don't even think he's a great offensive coordinator anymore. All this coordinators went to the Dolphins. They've gone other places, and now I think he's calling plays this year. I'm not sure, but I think he's the main play caller.
He's been calling plays his entire time.
There's no bubble screens, no jet sweeps, nothing. The running plays are just straight at the middle. There's nothing like fourth and two. Run the ball. I mean, at least just make it, string it out. Something, get yourself somewhere going along the side of, like, you watch other teams. They're all doing creative things. Like last week in Seattle, like the bubble screens and stuff. It's just like, what's going on here, man? I just don't get it. It's just frustrating as hell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think our window shouldn't be shutting at all. And that's one last thing. Everybody deals with injuries. Shanahan loses one piece. He can't overcome it. It's just like, what is going on? And that's the thing about it. Oh, he's such a genius. He's a genius. Where has that really came from? I don't get it. We here in the Bay Area, we see it. The national narrative is he's this genius. But I don't see it. I don't see it. You just one, two guys. This team has tons of talent. And it's still, he can't compensate for one or two guys being gone. Today was a big thing, but it was a close game. I saw it. But the penalties, the special teams. Every week, I'm like, anything having to do with special teams, I'm like, cross my fingers, we don't screw it up. Extra points, I'm like, wishing we make it. It's a 50-50 coin toss. Field goals, I'm like, oh, 50-50. Like, we shouldn't feel that way. This is just, something's got to change.
Yeah, Vaughn, appreciate the call. I mean,
if he said bubble screens one more time, I was walking over there hanging up on him myself.
This is a spot where you can come on and vent your frustrations, and Vaughn clearly has a lot built up, and that's nothing against you, Vaughn. And the first thing that he brought up, well, first of all, I'm not going to question any player dealing with injuries. Like, the bye week is a couple of weeks ago. Okay, they're hurt. They can't play. Yeah. It is what it is. You just got to deal with it. Every NFL team is dealing with it. You got to deal with it. And this was a particularly bad injury week. Yes, we get it, but every team deals with this at some point in a given season. The first thing, though, that Vaughn talked about was essentially saying, has Kyle Shanahan lost the locker room? I know you guys were just talking about, do the Niners feel like the season is over? It feels like those two conversations kind of go hand in hand. It doesn't feel like that Shanahan has lost the confidence of the rest of the roster, but a loss like this might go something in pushing it towards that direction. But it still doesn't feel like, to me, like Kyle Shanahan has lost the locker room. That feels like a major leap forward.
No, and this is where I think Kyle Shanahan deserves some criticism for sure, but he has an offense built around, like, the offensive line being at X level, and Christian McCaffrey and Deebo Samuel playing at X level, and Brandon Ayuk being out there and trying to make those adjustments, those like wholesale adjustments to these major pieces of your offense, and missing them during the season, or them not performing how you're expecting them to perform. That's really tough. And that's why I say, like, next year's the big one. Next year, when you get a full offseason to rework what this offense is supposed to look like, maybe change your philosophy on drafting offensive linemen and building an offensive line. When you have a full offseason to kind of make those changes, then I think you can start judging whether he's good or not, because they've been really good for 4 out of the last 5 years. I'm not going to go tear the guy down and everything he's done over the last half decade because of one bad stretch.
We'll take this game, for example. Shanahan didn't cause Eric Saubert to hold. He didn't cause four different offensive line penalties that cost him drives in this game. He didn't cost him Deebo Samuel dropping a pass. He didn't, like, there are so many things that Shanahan can be held accountable for, and all those feel very valid at this point in time. His team's 5-6, coming off a Super Bowl loss in which it was overtime where they very much could have won that game. And the expectations set, not just for the team itself, but every single player, nobody's met them. Not a single player has met the expectations set by them, maybe outside of Malik Mustafa, Renardo Green, and Sam Aquanu. And I'm sorry, your rookie safety, your, I guess, rookie right guard in Dominic Pooney, and your young players that are scattered throughout your defense and offense, living up to the expectations or playing above them, is only good when the stars around them are aligning and they're playing and doing their job correctly. Mm-hmm. And they're not. And that's not Kyle's fault. That's just the way the NFL goes sometimes. Some teams have bad years. Some teams can't put it together. And when you have not just one or two players, you have about 5 to 10 players playing down every single game, it's hard to overcome. And offensively, yes, Shanahan needs to get into the offensive line and rework that sucker. I want 3 new starters next year. They have to refine and rekindle how to be aggressive and run the football. This team can't run the football anymore. That's Shanahan. That's the offensive line's problem. But all the other small stuff, I don't blame Kyle for.
Yeah, I think you said it well. Final score in Green Bay today, 38-10. The Packers knock off the 49ers. As you said, the Niners now 5-6, although the division leader Cardinals lost in Seattle today. So the Niners somehow still only a game.
Still alive, baby!
Still only a game out of the NFC West.
We got a chance!
Which makes absolutely no sense, given the disgusting tape that they have put out through 11 games so far this season. Okay, time for a break here on Overtime. We got plenty more time for you, your calls and your texts. 888 957-9570. Mike and Javier, I see you. We're coming to you next as Overtime continues. Mark Randy, Kyle Madsen, Sterling Bennett with you. More OT next on 95.7 The Game.